For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing? A surprise appearance from Jerry Jones on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, you know, Dak Prescott, he's gonna be a cowboy for life. You know, that's just how I envision his future here in Dallas.
Yeah, that wasn't a button I thought I was.
That's okay. We're gonna hear from Mr. Jones coming up in a couple of minutes in an NFL soundcheck. Hey, if you're not awake now, good morning, Georgia. Wait, that's not my line. All right, it is Chris Thomas here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I got E with me producing the program. E, you know, it's funny. I got a lot of responses yesterday to our side topic about dating. The overwhelming majority of people say within 2 to 3 dates, you should know if you want to date somebody long term, which I think is interesting because that's pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I'm the 4+ guy. I'm definitely the 4+ guy. My dad used to tell me, and he used to say, Eric, if you're gonna when you pick your spouse long term, make sure you know that person for 4 seasons.
Ooh, okay. I like that line.
Okay. You know, because
how they act in summer, winter, fall, and spring.
Yeah, remember that movie? It's a kind of a chick flick, but remember Fever Pitch, Drew Barrymore.
Oh yeah, with Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. She was like, I love spring guy. You know, but when baseball season came around, fall guy or what it's or well, she said, I love fall guy when baseball season's over. But when spring came around, she's like, I don't like spring guy because everything's about baseball. So, you know, it's true. People are different at different times of the year.
Exactly. So, you know. So again, that poll's still up at C. Thomas Radio. I got back into the dating pool after adventurous, to say the least, horrible to probably be more accurate dating circuit in 2023. So I just got to thinking, like, how long does it take before you are ready to decide that, you know, you're ready to pursue somebody long term? And I put up 3 options, 1 date, 2 or 3, or 4+. And the overwhelming majority of people said within 2 to 3 dates, they know if they want to date somebody long term, which I find really interesting. If you want to share your thoughts on the text line, I had some really cool stories that were shared yesterday about couples being together for one guy was celebrating his 33rd wedding anniversary. Another guy had a first date at Mercedes-Benz for a United game. They're together 5 years later. So I got some really cool stories. If you want to share yours, hit me up at C. Thomas Radio or text the show 404-726-0929. All right, let's get into a little bit of an NFL sound check here because we have a bunch of guys that were speaking this week that said some really interesting things as camp sort of gets fully locked and loaded here. And the first couple, oh my God, my guy A-Rodge just will not stop opening his trap. This dude is on a rampage to make sure that Jets fans, myself included, suffer as much as possible under his regime in New York. Because he literally cannot go a calendar week without saying something that then ultimately leads SportsCenter the next day. He was talking about Robert Saleh announcing that he, meaning Aaron Rodgers, is not going to play in the preseason. Rodgers then takes to the podium and is like, what?
That's Robert's decision. I've never told him I don't want to play in the preseason. There's a lot of thoughts about whether there's any particular gain from it. Yeah, we used to play all the time. I mean, the question, we played, you know, 10 to 15 the first one, and quarter and a half in the second one, and the third quarter and the third one, and then sometimes, you know, Tennessee would always play their guys, shoot, sometimes through the third quarter. We would play, you know, maybe a series or two. Now nobody wants to play. They don't want to play their guys. It's different. To combat that, now we're doing all these practices with other teams. So we have three of those. I'm assuming those will be like our super heavy days, and then it'll be like the preseason for us. If he decides he wants me to play against the Giants, I'll strap it up and look forward to that.
Hey, Aaron. Zip it, buddy. Enough of you. You play for the team that I root for, and I'm sick of you, and you haven't played a down. Well, you played four. You played four downs for the New York Jets, and the amount of crap that has come out of your mouth has been unbelievable since you got to New York. I am so sick of it. As a matter of fact, Garrett Wilson was talking about a video that went viral of you two spatting at each other on the practice field.
I mean, he's vocalizing, he's pissed off. I know when we're getting beat, I'm pissed off. You know, I may not vocalize it that way to the guys, but I'm pissed off too. So it's kind of a mutual feeling. It's like, I'm glad he said something. And it's not personal. I don't think anyone in this building takes it that way. It's like, all right, this is our leader right here. People like that demand greatness in your details, in your mindset, and you're watching film, and you could feel it when it's not there, you know, when it's absent. So I think we all appreciate it. But we all know it's go time when that comes out, and honestly, we're feeling it too. It's just certain guys have the ability to verbalize it in that way. He's one of those.
You know what this says to me? Nobody on the team respects Robert Saleh. Because if your players are going to come out and talk like that, that means he doesn't have the command of the room. You think Bijan Robinson is giving you a quote like that? No.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
No.
No.
You think
nor Drake London,
yeah,
nor Kyle Pitts.
You think Grady Jarrett's walking off the field and giving you a quote like that?
Yeah, nope.
No. So in my opinion, what that says is they don't trust Robert Saleh to lead this team. They feel like he's a sitting duck.
You know how you said this time a year ago, I think you and everybody else was like, this Aaron Rodgers, the GM, he's the coach. He's darn near the owner, you know. So yeah.
No, he reports directly to Woody Johnson.
Yeah,
make no mistake about that.
So.
How about the Bears? Right, they're going to be an interesting team this year with Caleb Williams. They got a ton of weapons coming in. They really loaded him up, and then they just gave DJ Moore a new fat contract, and he was talking about it.
They all breaking new heights, going to 35 and. I don't know. I wasn't really in that mindset to go to the top. So I was just like, all right, what's a good number? And let's go from there.
That's smart because you know what? He got paid. You know what the difference is between $24 million a year and $30 million a year? Absolutely nothing. Less taxes. That's really just what it comes down to. Because you can live wherever you want. Do whatever you want, have whatever house you want, have whatever car you want, and that $6 million does not take you to Bill Gates level. There's no reason other than keeping the train moving for these guys to be divas when it comes to their contract, other than for the sake of being divas and opening up the room for the next guy. But I think DJ Moore, combined with who they have, Keenan Allen, they have Rome Odunze, mm-hmm. And they got a whole new backfield. They got DeAndre Swift.
And Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet at tight end. I mean, are they going to compete for a division title? I'm not sure, but I think they're going to be pretty good.
All depends on pick numero uno.
Yes, sir. Caleb Williams. And all reports out of Chicago, we talked about it on Dukes and Bell this week, is he looks pretty good. Looks like he's picking it up. All right. How about week one? Falcons, Steelers, coming up in just a couple of weeks. Russell Wilson, this is funny. Russell Wilson was asked about being a mentor to Justin Fields, the guy who might take his job.
Yeah, I think, you know, more than anything else, we've known each other for some years now. And, you know, I've always tried to be a mentor in some way to him. You know, we've always texted, called, whatever it may be in the past. And same thing now, you know, just, you know, I believe that when you give as much knowledge that I have or experience or gone through, you know, it comes back in return for you in the long run. You know, we're a team. We're always trying to work to get better together. And, you know, everything that every rep that he's taking, I'm learning. Vice versa, every rep that I'm taking, he's learning. And all the other quarterbacks as well. And when we're not in there, we're just processing from the drill work. We're always talking, communicating. So I think that's a critical thing to being successful as a team.
You know what I smell? BS. Mr. Wilson, you're saying the right thing because you want that public persona to be Mr. Positivity. Hey, Russell, guess what? You might get benched for Justin Fields. I just saw an article yesterday that said there's real consideration going on in the Steel City that Fields is going to be the guy week one. I know Carl's been saying that as well.
Well, you know how you said that the Jets don't respect Robert Saleh? Well, guess what? Everybody wearing that black and gold for the Steelers respects Mike Tomlin.
Yes, they do. Okay?
And whatever he says, whatever he decides, no one's going to question it. And I do believe, even if it was Tomlin or somebody who said earlier a couple weeks ago that this is an open competition.
Yeah.
They didn't say that. Well, we didn't come in here and name somebody to start going back.
They only owe him $1 million.
Yeah. These two guys came in here to compete. So, you know, we'll see. I hope they have a question mark all the way up to what's the day before opening day, September 7th? You know?
Something like that, yeah.
Keep bailing. Don't have a decision. We don't care.
Bring the drama right to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Let's finish where we started, shall we? Now let's hear from Jerry Jones talking about Dak and his contract and what type of guy he is.
Well, I think that Dak, as you would expect, is very pragmatic. He's thoughtful, and he does his business the same way, with the same kind of intensity and professionalism as he does what he does out on the football field. Now, as it turns out, they both are some of the same. It takes both to make it go. But Dak's, in my mind, very special to deal with. I've dealt over the last 35 years, I've dealt with a lot of agents, a lot of players, and Dak's one of the best.
Okay, but are you going to pay him $60 million a year? That remains the question in Big D. We shall see. All right, when we get back, I had a chance yesterday to catch up with one of my good buddies, Joe DeLeon from the Believe Network. Let's continue the NFL conversation. We touch on everything going on in the league, from the guys getting paid in Miami, the guys we're about to see. We even hit on a little college football as well with the dismissal of Ra-Ra Thomas. You don't want to miss that conversation coming up next. Chris Thomas with you until 1 o'clock. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 1 o'clock. Our good buddy Abe Gordon will take my place then. He has a long day ahead because he's doing a show. Then he's doing Atlanta United pregame. And then he's doing Atlanta United postgame. So he's going to be sitting in this chair for a long time today. So drink one of those. So Abe's been, full disclosure, a little behind the scenes. I've caught a couple of rides with Abe up to Flowery Branch, because for those of you who know and follow me, I live right down the street here in Midtown, so no reason for me to have a car. I walk to work every day. So Abe's been kind enough to give me a couple of lifts. And he drinks these, like, Monster, whatever, energy drinks at, like, 7 in the morning. I'm like, if I started my day like that, first of all, my hands would be shaking as I'm driving on the wheel from all the caffeine and other crap that's in there. And second of all, by, like, noon, I'd be like ready to conk out, because those things give you a really high high. Oh, look, and as I'm speaking,
Speak of the devil,
he literally has one in his hand right now. He literally has it in his hand right now. So Abe just walked in, to the control room to say hi to E, and he has one of these, I think it's a Nas energy drink in his hand. That is so damn funny. We were literally just talking about it, and he walks into the studio. Because I was saying, Abe, now that you're listening, as you pick me up a couple of times in the morning to go to Flowery Branch, I can't believe you were drinking one of those things at like 7:30 in the morning. I don't know how, first of all, how you're not like, you know, convulsing while driving, because that thing has like 8,000 milligrams of caffeine on it. And then second of all, how by noon, you're not ready to keel over because of the crash. I just don't understand. So, Abe, I know he has a long day coming up today, so he's drinking one of those on the front end. But
well, first off, these things don't work. They don't work.
What do you mean they don't work?
They don't work. Nothing. I'll chuck three of these and go to sleep.
You drink it for the flavor?
Later.
You drink it for the taste?
Yeah, so why do you drink it?
Yeah,
then?
I like it. I like the flavor. But how's it any different than coffee?
Because it's coffee.
People drink coffee first thing in the morning.
Right, but coffee is like contained.
Coffee is a natural substance.
And also, look at how much stuff is in that bottle, is in that can. It's like nitrate and, you know, magnesium. Like, you get all this stuff in there that's like pumping through your veins at 7 in the morning. And you're fine. I guess you're fine.
I think you're overreacting. You got to remember, there's been like a transformation in the energy drink game. So much more of these are now like considered like wellness supplements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be.
But
like the good old days.
The one you're drinking isn't, though.
Nah, it's not like it used to be. Even this one, this one's not as healthy as, say, like a Celsius or a Bang or Rain or whatever. But it's not like it used to be, man. Like old school Monster Energy drinks with just like 1,000 grams of sugar, they don't exist.
Well, you
got
to go zero. You got to do the zero brand.
Sure.
Because that has.
Okay, enough about the energy drink, sir. We got a show to do. Thank you very much.
Listen, man. All right, Mr. Producer over there. All right, I had a chance to catch up with my buddy, Joe DeLeon from the Believe Network, and we were talking about how the Falcons are going down to Miami this week, and Miami just paid all their guys. Tua got his big deal, Waddle got his big deal, and then Tyreek just got his contract restructured. And I asked him, is that a good idea to front load all that money to just three offensive stars?
Yeah, I think that the way that they've constructed their roster is perfect for the way that Mike McDaniel wants to run his offense. And to do whatever you can to lock down the flow and the consistency and the explosiveness, I think that's really important for their long-term future. I feel like a lot of people, and I was one of these people who, it took a little bit of a negative angle with looking at the Tua contract of, you know, does he really deserve it? But at the same time, it is so difficult to find just consistency at quarterback in the NFL. And we've seen so many teams just laying in purgatory for so many years. The Bears are a perfect example of that. And hopefully they end up finding their guy now with Caleb Williams. To have an understanding of what the future looks like at the position, even though Tua doesn't have the biggest arm, he might not create the biggest splash plays like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. But he's the right guy to deliver the ball to Jalen Waddle, to Tyreek Hill, to allow them to pick up huge amounts of yards after the catch. It works so well. So for them to have future solidified on offense, I think is huge for the long-term success of that team.
Do you foresee the Falcons' offense being able to have success against the Dolphins' defense as a couple of their key guys are still coming back from injury?
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like the Falcons defense, their secondary in particular, I know that A.J. Terrell has been fantastic, but I really truly don't know who exactly is going to be matching up in practice and is going to be able to lock down some of those guys. But I would believe that the Dolphins are going to have a pretty easy time trying to move the ball during practice.
All right, when it comes to some other headlines going on in the NFL, you just mentioned a guy in Josh Allen. I think the Bills are the wild card team in the AFC for sure because they lost a couple of key pieces. Do you think the window is closed there, or is it still open for a championship?
Absolutely. I think that this whole team for the Bills, they're slowly improving, and I'm excited to see what the receiving room is going to look like now that they added Keon Coleman into the mix. I feel like he could be the perfect marriage between a quarterback and a receiver, that their play styles really work well against one another, because we know that Josh Allen likes to take a lot of risks at times when he's playing. And to have somebody who, if he sees Keon Coleman open in a contested situation and he wants to take that risk, I'm confident that Keon Coleman is going to come down with that ball. He is a premier jump ball threat type of a guy. I feel good about this Bills team. I know that they've come up short, and it feels like just from the recency and the frustration and just the general magnifying glass that's going to get put on them and the focus that's going to get put on them when they fail to reach that next true level. I think despite all of that, I feel pretty confident that they're eventually going to reach a Super Bowl in the next few years.
A team that is trying to make a Super Bowl and looked like they'd have a decent shot as the Chargers. And then, Joe, we find out this week that Herbert's injured, and that's one of those injuries that tends to linger. They say he's going to be ready for week one. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's so brutal. That's really, really brutal for the Chargers. Just like the terrible consistent or inconsistent luck that they've had, just things not working out for them. I was really bullish on what could happen for this Chargers offense. Now I don't know so much, but I was bullish because of the, you know, the marriage of Justin Herbert to the ideologies of Jim Harbaugh, and I think that the offensive line could be really underrated. To not have him there to get reps in practice, to feel out and understand what he needs to do in this new scheme, it's going to slow them down. I wouldn't be surprised, and we kind of saw this with Joe Burrow, where his availability was inconsistent last training camp when he was dealing with the whole calf, lower body injury. That ultimately really hindered their progress, and they started a little bit slow. And the same thing is going to happen for the Chargers here. If they wanted to have a shock-to-the-world type of a season, which would have required a lot, but at least a strong season, they needed to get off to a hot start to build momentum. Now, I don't know if that's going to exactly be the case. This could be a five-week stretch to start the year where even if he is available week one, it might take a little bit of a feeling-out period before everything starts to come together.
Talking with our good buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Check out his college and pro analysis there. Looks like in New York, bygones are going to be bygones. Jets and Rodgers, looks like they're starting to heat things up in practice. The report out of New York is that he looked incredible during a scrimmage. What do you think the potential is there? Could they really actually do this thing with Rodgers in year two?
Yeah, it all comes down to the biggest question and probably the most annoying one for Jets fans is, does Aaron Rodgers finish the season? Does he get all the way through the season? I know that it was such an extreme circumstance for him to get hurt the way that he did last year, but all it takes is just one bad hit, one bad bump later on in the season where we saw in his final years of his time with the Packers, he wasn't 100% totally available every single year. If he lasts, this receiver room, this offensive line is completely revamped. Their running back room is extremely deep. Breece Hall is going to be a really dynamic option for them, but Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, who are really good spell options when running the ball for Breece Hall, because they're just going to pound the rock in between the tackles, short yardage. Having two hard-nosed, tough guys like that, I think, is going to be really great for this offense. They have everything. We know how good that defense is. We saw the fact that that defense kept them in games that they should not have been in when they could barely move the ball on offense, what they were able to accomplish. So they're on the radar deservedly for being in the AFC Championship conversation. It just all comes down to, does Aaron Rodgers play at least 15, 14 regular season games, and is he fully healthy and available during the playoffs?
One more AFC question before we switch back over to the NFC. The Bengals are sort of an enigma right now. Joe Burrow, we'll see what he can do coming back. I mean, I like the refreshed approach with the Eminem haircut, so we'll see what he can do there. But do they have enough on the offensive line and on the defense as a whole to pick up where they left off before a series of brutal injuries to Burrow?
Yeah, I was really excited with the results that they had from the 2024 NFL draft because you just asked about the offensive and defensive lines. I thought that they aggressively handled both of those situations that were question marks and, more importantly, got the right guys into the mix. I'm a very big McKinley Jackson fan. I think that he is going to be disruptive in the interior. And if Amarius Mims plays the whole year, which Georgia fans are familiar with, if he plays at least most of the season, I think he could have a really, welcome to the league type of a moment where he just bursts onto the scene and everybody's talking about how fantastic he is. He quite literally did the same thing with Georgia, where didn't have a ton of reps, didn't have a ton of experience, and the times that he stepped in, he was phenomenal. So I feel that they've really figured out what their offensive line, what their defensive line is going to be like. Another team where there's a lot of young faces that might take a little bit of a feeling out period, but I think by the end of the season, those young players are going to be much more confident. They're going to feel much better about the team that's playing alongside them, that they will have the necessary momentum to go on a run.
All right. Here's my issue. In the NFC, Joe, I think there's about three or four teams that are one notch below San Francisco, who I think will be the favorite again, and I'm having trouble sorting them out. So help me sort out the following teams and who you think are true contenders in the NFC between, let's say, the Lions, let's say the Packers, let's say the Philadelphia Eagles, and let's say maybe, do we want to throw maybe the Cowboys in there? Are there any teams outside of those? And how would you rank the ones that I just listed in terms of being legit contenders in the NFC?
Yeah, those are all the teams that I would go with. I think there's just huge, huge question marks of who outside of that is going to even be competent enough. I think that there's going to be some surprise teams that are wild card and budding young teams, like maybe the Commanders could be exciting this year if Jane Daniels has a good season. Maybe the Bears could reach the playoffs, and I think that there's actually a pretty good chance that they do, the way that defense is built and how underrated the receiving room is for Caleb Williams. But to talk about the teams that you mentioned, the one I'm the most bullish on is the Packers. They have, and they just paid Jordan Love, they have this really well-established and well-put-together receiver room that doesn't have a premier guy, but it has a collection of players that fit different roles for different situations. Jaden Reed is getting hyped up a ton by that coaching staff. Christian Watson is their go-ball guy and a field stretcher that can take the top off of defenses. And then we know Romeo Dubs is somebody who has been highly regarded by that organization since they drafted him. That whole grouping, I think, has so much potential to be the best offense in the NFC. Behind them, you really could flip a coin, but I think that the Eagles are the next close favorite. Their defensive line is very, very stout. They've got the two Georgia guys in the middle, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Their pass rush is going to be a little bit to be determined because of some turnover there. But their secondary is ridiculous, and we know how consistent and dominant that their offense can be when everybody's fully available and Jalen Hurts is in a rhythm. And now they have Saquon Barkley. But the way that they drafted this year and the way that they're able to get a steal like Cooper DeJean in the second round makes me pretty worried about what the Eagles are going to be doing to teams in the NFC East. Cowboys are right there behind them, though. I don't think that there's much separation because their strengths are very different than what the Eagles have. That their offensive line, we know how good they're going to be. We know that Dak Prescott, if he's connecting in a rhythm with CeeDee Lamb, and more importantly, in a situation where he wants to prove himself, he could have an MVP-like season where a lot of people forgot he was deserving to be in that conversation at parts of last year. I'm probably the lowest on the Lions, not because I don't think that they could get back to the NFC Championship game. I just think that a lot of these other teams that fell short last year were very, very aggressive in free agency, were very, very aggressive in the draft. And while it's awesome that they have Terrion Arnold now, and I think that he is going to be huge for improving their secondary, it feels like they weren't as active as some of these other teams. And sure, they spent all that money on Jared Goff, but did they do enough to add to their arsenal, add to their already budding program to match up with these other teams that we're talking about?
Before I let you go, Joe, as we're wrapping up with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network, check out his college and pro work there. Georgia, does their ranking in your eyes fall at all after losing Ra-Ra Thomas because of his off-field actions?
No, I don't think so. I think that receiving room that they had, the way that they rebuilt it in the transfer portal, it desperately needed an injection of just some juice. So guys that they brought in this year, I don't think are enough to make up for the loss of Ra-Ra Thomas. And Ra-Ra Thomas wasn't even really fully available, as we all know, that his presence, I don't think, is going to be completely missed. The biggest part is that their run game, I think, is going to be a real easy part for them to lean on. And then especially that we know that Carson Beck, when he's down on weapons to throw to, like he was for spurts throughout the year when Brock Bowers and Mike McConkey were hurt last season, that he's going to find ways to distribute the football. So I'm not too worried about it. I really don't think that losing Ra-Ra Thomas is going to really bring them down a whole lot. They're still my number one team, without a doubt, with Ohio State right behind them.
That was our good buddy Joe DeLeon there, the Believe Podcast Network. When we get back, let's continue our Braves conversation, shall we? I got five true and false questions coming from our good buddy E, producer Eric. I was about to say Eric Slaughter extraordinaire, and I got tongue-tied, producer Eric Slaughter extraordinaire. There we go. Got it right. Second time's charm. Women's basketball underway. They were down early to Germany, and they came back to tie it up at 19, and now it's tied up at 22. Keep you posted on that as well. But again, when we get back, let's keep talking some Bravos. We've been talking Braves all day long. Some Falcons mixed in as well. Your place for Atlanta sports, the home, the hub, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app. I was just talking with Abe Gordon during the commercial break. Man, have yourself a year, Scottie Scheffler. He takes gold minus 19 under. I mean, wow. That's pretty good, I'd say. He takes the gold and just continues his torrid pace throughout the 2024 calendar year. Abe made the joke that, oh, maybe Schauffele comes out and Scottie Scheffler continues to remain the dominant men's golfer in the calendar year 2024. We've been talking a lot about the Braves today. We're going to get to five Braves true or false questions in just a second here. Top of the hour coming up. I haven't had a chance really to dive into what Kirby Smart had to say this week about Ra-Ra Thomas and the state of Georgia as they got their camp underway. I have a strong take on what he did and whether or not I agree with it, and I'll let you hear that coming up at the top of the hour because something had to give, and I'll let you know if I thought that was the right decision to dismiss Thomas from the program. But right now, without any further ado, let's continue some Braves talk with five true or false questions.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, today we do Braves. Had some great Falcons true and false yesterday. Let's talk about these Bravos getting on.
Putting up the five. Five games back.
Yeah, baby. All right, so Mad Max returns to the Hill. Haven't seen him in a little over a month, give or take. You know, it was early July when he last pitched. And we'll see what he's got today. But I always hear, especially Dukes and Bell, I listen to you guys all the time, everybody, Mike just says, oh, Freed's not here next year. But I don't know if I ever heard your opinion. So true or false, Max Freed is a Atlanta Brave in 2025?
The answer is going to depend, I think, largely upon how he pitches it down the stretch. I actually think if he pitches poorly, there's a better chance that he's back because it's going to cost less.
I agree.
So if he goes out there and he's Maximus Dominus and he's, 6-0 in his last six starts, goodbye. Thank you for your service and we'll keep it moving on. But if he goes out there and he's kind of mid-max and he, he's 2-3 with a 4.5 ERA down the stretch, he might have to take a little sliver off the top because he's not going to get what he wants. So might as well stay home where you got yourself a ring and you're, nice and comfy here in the A. So I don't want him to pitch poorly down the stretch. But if he does,
Remember that conversation we had an hour ago?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that benefits the Braves, but I think it benefits them potentially long-term by having him not get as much as he wants.
I'm gonna go on my dreamland, and so I'm gonna say your answer is true. He is a Brave in 2025, but he does pitch well, and we find a way to pay him and figure it out. because I would like to see Max.
I hope so. It's just the track record just tells you that that's just not going to happen.
We got the money. Come on, guys. Raise the stock price. Do something. You know, go into the Christmas fund. Find the money to pay
I'll
that man.
Tell you this. It's not exactly cheap if you want to go to Truist Park. You're not getting in the building for $20 and spending, you know, the Falcons gave us that smorgasbord of food for $20 at Mercedes on Friday. You're not getting that at Truist Park. I mean, it is what it is,
yeah,
man.
No, it's a dine before you get in the building type of situation. All right, let's keep it going on this edition of Braves True and False. Friday night's game, Charlie Morton looked really good, picked up his sixth win of the year.
Here we go, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. Charlie has quietly got 20 starts, the most starts of all the pitches on the rotation. 6-6 in the year. But I think my question to you is, true or false, can Charlie get to 10 wins in 2024 and maybe solidify as, hey, guys, I'm that fourth arm. Give me the ball the fourth day in the playoffs.
I think it depends on who he's going to face in those starts the rest of the season, because he's been up and down, to say the least. I think if we're being very kind here, can he win four more games? He's probably got what?
He's got 8 starts left.
Starts left. Yeah. I mean, true. He
4
can.
And 4 gets him to 10-10.
Yeah. If he can do it, I'm going to, you know what? Dang it. We're going to be positive here on a beautiful Sunday morning turning to afternoon here in the A. I'm going to say true. Charlie Morton gets the 10 wins on the season, and I think for his sake hangs it up after this year.
Probably. He's in his early 40s, got another 20 mil plus in the bank. Think about it. In the last 3 years, a 37-year-old, 38-year-old, 39-year-old, he's made over $66 million. It's not a bad thing to be.
No, and he still throws pretty hard. Yeah. His stuff is still decent. He's been prone to the long ball, and that's a killer.
Yeah, it is. So, speaking of the long ball, you teed it up great. Ozuna, Raleigh, Olsen, everybody's hitting the dingers here in the past couple nights. So true or false, the Braves will get to 200 home runs as a team. They were not on that pace as the year started, but they are actually starting to pick it up.
Do you have the total home as I'm typing it into Google here? Braves team home runs 2024. Let's see where they're at right now. They have Atlanta Braves are number 6 with 138. So they need 62 more home runs.
And it's funny you would say that. Well, okay, we have 52 games left. So he needs 62 and 52 games. So that's probably an average of 1.1, 1.2 per game?
I'm going to say they come up just short.
Wow.
That's okay. Because I just – there's going to be more clunkers in there, man.
The thing. They come in bunches. When we have games, we hit 3. Then we have games where –
you don't do anything.
You can't get the ball to the infield.
And you know, this patch has been great of recent, but what has 2024 been so far? A lot of nothing.
Up and down.
Yeah, and a lot of nothing. So I can't just assume that they're going to keep this. I would love that if they kept this pace up for the next 50 games, but unfortunately I'm going to say false. Not by much, just a smidge.
All right, one more on the Braves. We actually got 2 more to go on this week's edition of Braves True and False. Braves closer, Horacio Iglesias, 23 saves. He's quietly having another stellar year. But the magic number for saves and, you know, closes in Major League Baseball is 30 and above. So do you think, true or false, he'll get his chance? His career high is 34, okay? So that means he would need 11 more before this year out. Could he break his career high, true or false? Iglesias gets to his career high and saves at 34.
How many does he have now, said?
23.
Yeah. He just needs, there's enough games left for him to do that for sure. The Braves play a lot of tight games, if you haven't noticed. More than I think you or I would prefer if
you,
we're being...
you, Abe, most being, people riding around this town.
Yeah, completely honest. I don't exactly... love that every game seems to be 4-3 in the 8th inning. I think the Braves are going to be in a lot of close games down the stretch. They're going to be pivotal games. Snit's going to have to go to him, if we're being honest, probably more than he would like. Because there's been some guys that, like, Do you trust Pierce Johnson right now?
Hey, Luke Jackson's back, man.
Yeah.
Luke Jackson's back.
Yeah, man.
Give me my Luke jersey. I'm going to go get my old one out the closet. I still got it.
If we see him ever before the seventh inning, or after the seventh inning, I should say, that is a real problem. Good old Luke Sporting.
You didn't greet him at Hartsfield when he landed? You wasn't there? Luke, welcome back, Luke.
Listen, we love
you
Luke.
You and Randy McMichael. Luke.
Yeah, we were holding up the signs. He's got a 5.15 ERA right now.
That was before he got here, man.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Turtle?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you bringing up old stuff,
you're
man?
You're right. But, yeah, no, I think he does. And, you know, there's some guys that I trust in the pen. I mean, Iglesias has been pretty good this year. Jimenez has been pretty good this year. I mean, I know the Braves have, like, one of the lowest bullpen ERAs in baseball. I don't get how. Chavez hasn't been very good lately. He's given up a bunch of big flies. Grant Holmes was great, but now he's a starter all of a sudden. So we'll see if he gets another one. He was pretty good last night. I mean, 3 runs.
Yeah. No, Braves ran into it late in the game.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for. But I'm going to say, yeah. And I'm going to say he gets, let's say 36 will be the number I'll put.
Oh, wow. So they get a new career high. All right, let's do it. All right, last one. Braves edition of True or False. With 110 games in the books, the Braves are at their magic number of 10 games over 500. They get to 11, they come back. They go down to 8 or 9, they get back to 10. 60 and 50 are where these Braves sit. Now, the latest ESPN projections say the NL East winner needs to get to 94 wins. That means with 52 games left, the Braves need to go 34 and 18. True or false, the Braves can go 34 and 18 and get the 94 wins.
Oh, boy. My initial gut reaction would be false. That's some heavy lifting there, my friend.
That's how we got to get that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Oh,
94
man.
Wins. They got 52 days, 34 and 18. That's pretty much winning 2 out of every 3.
Yeah, that's a humongous ask. I'm going to say false, but that doesn't mean that they don't finish strong, and that doesn't mean that they ultimately don't catch the Phillies either. Yeah, that's just that's,
if you look at that number, so these projections, if you look at it next week, if the Phillies have another 2 in 5 week, that number will probably go down to 92. Every time, you know, because they're looking at that number with what the Phillies did. So 3 weeks ago, that number probably was 96.
Yep.
You know, so what we need is the Phillies to continue to struggle. And then that number, maybe now 92 wins will win the division. So, but right now they're saying it takes 94.
With the way the season started, if the Braves win 90 games this year, that is a miracle. And I'm going to say they finish like a tick below that with like 87, 88
wins. That
would
be 30-22. 30-22 with 52 games left.
Yeah.
They can do 30-22.
Yeah.
They've got it.
I was just talking with Abe Gordon during the commercial break. Man, have yourself a year, Scotty Scheffler. He takes gold minus 19 under. I mean, wow. That's pretty good, I'd say. He takes the gold and just continues his torrid pace throughout the 2024 calendar year. Abe made the joke that, maybe Scheffler comes out of nowhere. Nope. Scotty Scheffler continues to remain the dominant men's golfer in the calendar year 2024. We've been talking a lot about the Braves today. We're going to get to 5 Braves true or false questions in just a second here. Top of the hour coming up. I haven't had a chance really to dive into what Kirby Smart had to say this week about Ra-Ra Thomas and the state of Georgia as they got their camp underway. I have a strong take on what he did and whether or not I agree with it, and I'll let you hear that coming up at the top of the hour because something had to give, and I'll let you know if I thought that was the right decision to dismiss Thomas from the program. But right now, without any further ado, let's continue some Braves talk with 5 true or false questions.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, today we do Braves. Had some great Falcons true and false yesterday. Let's talk about these Braves. Devils getting on.
Put up the five.
Yeah, putting up the
five. Put up the five.
Yeah.
Five games back.
Yeah, baby. All right. So, Mad Max returns to the Hill. Haven't seen him in a little over a month, give or take. You know, it was early July when he last pitched. And we'll see what he's got today. But I always hear, especially Dukes and Bell, I listen to you guys all the time, everybody, Mike just says, oh, Freed's not here next year. Freed's not here next year. But I don't know if I ever heard your opinion. So, true or false? Max Fried is a Atlanta Brave in 2025.
The answer is going to depend, I think, largely upon how he pitches it down the stretch. I actually think if he pitches poorly, there's a better chance that he's back because it's going to cost less.
I agree.
So if he goes out there and he's Maximus Dominus and he's, you know, 6-0 in his last six starts, goodbye. Thank you for your service, and we'll keep it moving on. But if he goes out there and he's kind of mid-max, and he, you know, he's 2-3 with a 4.5 ERA down the stretch, he might have to take a little sliver off the top because he's not going to get what he wants. So might as well stay home where you got yourself a ring and you're, you know, nice and comfy here in the A. So I don't want him to pitch poorly down the stretch.
I was about
but,
to say, you're
but if he does, I think.
Remember that conversation we had an hour ago?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that benefits the Braves, but I think it benefits them potentially long term by having him not get as much as he wants.
I'm gonna go on my dreamland, and so I'm gonna say your answer is true. He is a Brave in 2025, but he does pitch well, and we find a way to pay him and figure it out. Because I would like to see Max.
I hope so. It's just the track record just tells you that that's just not gonna happen.
We got the money. Come on, guys, raise the stock price, do something. You know, go into the Christmas fund, find the money to pay.
Well, I'll tell you this: it's not exactly cheap if you want to go to Truist Park. You're not getting in the building for $20 and spending, you know, the Falcons gave us that smorgasbord of food for $20 at Mercedes on Friday. You're not getting that at Truist Park. I mean, it is what it is,
yeah,
man.
No, it's definitely it's a dime before you get in the building type of situation. All right, let's keep it going on this edition of Braves True and False. Friday night's game, Charlie Morton looked really good, picked up his sixth win of the year.
Here we go, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. Charlie has quietly got 20 starts, the most starts of all the pitchers on the rotation. 6-6 in the year. But I think my question to you is, true or false, can Charlie get to 10 wins in 2024 and maybe solidify as a, hey, guys, I'm that fourth arm. Give me the ball the fourth day in the playoffs.
I think it depends on who he's going to face in those starts the rest of the season. Because he's been up and down, to say the least. I think if we're being very kind here, can he win four more games? He's probably got what?
He's got eight starts left.
Starts left. Yeah. I mean, true. He
four
can.
And four gets him to 10-10.
Yeah. If he can do it, I'm going to, you know what? Dang it. We're going to be positive here on a beautiful Sunday morning turning to afternoon here in the A. I'm going to say true. Charlie Morton gets to 10 wins on the season, and I think for his sake, hangs it up after this year.
Probably. He's in his early 40s, got another 20 mil plus in the bank. Think about it. In the last 3 years, a 37-year-old, 38-year-old, 39-year-old, he's made over $66 million. It's not a bad thing to be.
No, and he still throws pretty hard. Yeah. His stuff is still decent. He's been prone to the long ball, and that's a killer.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of the long ball, you teed it up great. Ozuna, Raleigh, Olsen, everybody's hitting the dingers here in the past couple nights. So true or false, the Braves will get to 200 home runs as a team. They were not on that pace as the year started, but they are actually starting to pick it up.
Do you have the total home as I'm typing it into Google here? Braves team home runs 2024. Let's see where they're at right now. They have Atlanta Braves are number 6 with 138. So they need 62 more home runs.
And it's funny you would say that. Well, okay, we have 52 games left. So they need 62 and 52 games. So that's probably an average of 1.1, 1.2 per game.
I'm going to say they come up just short.
Wow.
That's because I just there's going to be more clunkers in there, man.
They come in bunches. When we have games, we hit three. Then we have games where
you don't do anything.
We can't get the ball to the infield.
And you know, this patch has been great of recent, but what has 2024 been so far? A lot of nothing.
Up and down.
Yeah, and a lot of nothing. So I can't just assume that they're going to keep this. I would love that if they kept this pace up for the next 50 games, but unfortunately I'm going to say false. Not by much, just a smidge.
All right, one more on the Braves. Well, we actually got two more to go on this week's edition of Braves True and False. Braves closer, Horacio Iglesias, 23 saves. He's quietly having another stellar year. But the magic number for saves and, you know, closes in Major League Baseball is 30 and above. So do you think, true or false, he'll get his chance? His career high is 34, okay? So that means he would need 11 more before this year out. Could he break his career high, true or false? Iglesias gets to his career high in saves at 34.
How many does he have now, said?
23.
23? Yeah. He just needs, there's enough games left for him to do that for sure. The Braves play a lot of tight games, if you haven't noticed, more than I think you or I would prefer.
Most people riding around this town.
Yeah, completely honest. I don't exactly love that every game seems to be 4-3 in the eighth inning. But I think the Braves are going to be in a lot of close games down the stretch. They're going to be pivotal games. Snit's going to have to go to him, if we're being honest, probably more than he would like, because there's been some guys that, like, do you trust Pierce Johnson right now?
Hey, Luke Jackson's back, man.
Yeah.
Luke Jackson's back.
Yeah, man.
Give me my Luke jersey. I'm going to get my old one out the closet. I still got it.
If we see him ever before the seventh inning, or after the seventh inning, I should say, that is a real problem. Good old Luke Sporting.
You didn't greet him at Hartsfield when he landed? You wouldn't say, Luke, welcome back, Luke.
Listen, we love
you
Luke.
You and Randy McMichael.
Luke. Yeah, we were holding up the signs. He's got a 5.15 ERA right now.
That was before he got here, man.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Turtle?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you bringing up old stuff,
man? You're right. But, I think he does. And, you know, there's some guys that I trust in the pen. I mean, Iglesias has been pretty good this year. Jimenez has been pretty good this year. I mean, I know the Braves have, like, one of the lowest bullpen ERAs in baseball. I don't get how. Chavez hasn't been very good lately. He's given up a bunch of big flies. Grant Holmes was great, but now he's a starter all of a sudden. So we'll see if he gets another one. He was pretty good last night. I mean, three runs.
The Braves ran into it late in the game.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for. But I'm going to say, and I'm going to say he gets, let's say 36 will be the number I'll put.
Oh, wow. So they get a new career high. All right, let's do it. All right, last one. Braves edition of True or False. With 110 games in the books, the Braves are at their magic number of 10 games over 500. They get to 11, they come back. They go down to 8 or 9, they get back to 10. 60 and 50 are where these Braves sit. Now, the latest ESPN projections say the NL East winner needs to get to 94 wins. That means with 52 games left, the Braves need to go 34 and 18. True or false, the Braves can go 34 and 18 and get the 94 wins.
Oh, boy. My initial gut reaction would be false. That's some heavy lifting there, my friend.
That's how we got to get that 5-4, 3-2, 1.
Yeah. Oh,
94
man.
Wins. They got 52 days, 34 and 18. That's pretty much winning two out of every three.
Yeah, that's a humongous ask. I'm going to say false, but that doesn't mean that they don't finish strong, and that doesn't mean that they ultimately don't catch the Phillies either.
If you look at that number, so these projections, if you look at it next week, if the Phillies have another 2-5 week, that number will probably go down to 92. Every time, you know, because they're looking at that number with what the Phillies did. So 3 weeks ago, that number probably was 96.
Yep.
You know, so what we need is the Phillies to continue to struggle. And then that number, maybe now 92 wins to win the division. So, but right now they're saying it takes 94.
With the way the season started, if the Braves win 90 games this year, that is a miracle. And I'm going to say they finish like a tick below that with like 87, 88
wins. That
would
be 30-22. 30-22 and with 52 games left.
Yeah.
They can do 30-22.
Yeah.
They've got it. If they play their 10 games above 500, you know, kind of standard, they should get that. They should get that, 90 wins. And think about it. If we'd have said over under 90 wins in spring training, we'd have been like, what are you talking about? This is a 100-win team. Easy.
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 But that's before you lose Acuna, Strider, Harris. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Raleigh, Murphy, and the beat goes on.
Yeah, AJ Minter. You say goodbye to our old friend, Mr. Tyler Matzik, a.k.a. Blank Sack. RIP to his Braves career. But we got Luke Jackson and Jorge Soler back. Come on, baby. Duvall,
Luke.
Soler, Rosario.
That's what they're saying in the stands. Yeah. Not boo.
Luke. Eddie. All right, good job on the five Braves, true and false. E. Coming up next, what did Kirby Smart say about the dismissal of Ra-Ra Thomas, and how do I feel about that given the state of the program? I'll let you know next. Plus, Taren Walk's coming up, Falcons.com writer. We got a jam-packed final hour, and we will chat with our buddy Abe Gordon. Don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas with you until 1, Sports Radio 99 again.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.